Right. Good morning, everyone. This morning we'll be in Proverbs chapter 3, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And as we're getting started, I don't usually do this, but I want to take a poll this morning and see what your thoughts are on this. How many of you will be willing to get into a driverless car, one of the robo-taxis that drive around and drop people off now? Anybody here? I see one, maybe two, three. And for the most part, it's younger people. That's what I was expecting. But let me read you some facts about autonomous cars. So right now, this is an article from the Miami Herald from just this July. It says more than 1,400 driverless vehicles are currently in testing. Over 3 billion miles have been logged using Tesla's autopilot feature. Waymo, which is, I believe that's Google's auto car system, drove over 20 million miles across 25 U.S. cities. Apple logged more than 450,000 miles in California in 1 year. Lyft and Aptive deployed more than 100,000 commercial robo-taxis in Las Vegas. The global self-driving vehicles industry is currently expanding by 16% annually. Sales of self-driving vehicles are projected to be 58 million units by 2030, and the global autonomous vehicle market is expected to reach nearly $450 million by 2035. Tesla has invested over $10 billion in autonomous cars so far. So after reading those facts, has anybody changed their mind? No, to get in a car and trust it to take us where we want without and not putting our hands on the wheel is really hard for us to have that trust, isn't it? And the verses, we're going to look at some verses today that talk about trust and where we should be putting our trust. And the truth is, we always trust somebody. Like if we're not trusting autonomous cars, we're trusting our own driving, or we're trusting that we can walk to get where we need to. And when we do drive, I don't think we realize how much trust it takes to drive a car out on these highways. You realize that when you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, a car is coming back at you at 70 miles an hour, and you pass within just, you know, a couple feet. It takes a lot of trust that driver over there is paying attention. And a lot of times we see, right, Brother Sam, that they're not paying attention because there's a lot of things that happen there. But, you know, there's a lot of things in this life that require trust. We trust that banks are going to take care of our money. We trust that we go to work for a week and that our employer is going to pay us at the end of that week. You know, there's a lot of things we put trust in, and, you know, not most things can fail. But the one that we can put our trust in that will never fail is God. And today we want to look at some verses that focus on how we keep our trust in Him. So let's start reading in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 11, or verse 12, actually. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own conceit, or in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that you would help us to understand, help us to know how we can trust you more. And pray, Lord, that we would put that into effect immediately, Lord, that we would trust you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here are the verses we just read. There's, you know, a couple verses in there that we are all familiar with. That's verses 6 and 7. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, or actually verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think a lot of us have probably memorized those verses, and we call on them a lot. But it's a challenge sometimes to put that into practice in the real world that we face every day. And I think God has laid out some things in here in these verses that we're looking at today to help us to make that more real in our lives. And it starts there in verse 1, it says, in verse 2, 1 and 2, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So, see here in the start, we can say, when we look at trust and obedience and love and all, they all work together, but you know, sometimes they build on each other. And we, you know, here in these first verses, we see that trusting God, you know, one of the foundations of trusting God is knowing his commandments and his expectations for us to make his word, make it part of our lives, to make it what we live every day. And it starts by knowing his word. And when we start to learn his word and to know his word, it takes trust in the start to make that effort. You know, knowing and keeping God's word, it takes an intentional effort. It's not something that just happens. We don't just lay our head on our Bible and all of a sudden it soaks in. We have to work at it. You know, it includes studying God's word. It includes memorizing God's word and, you know, seeking out good preaching and good teaching. And all those things take effort to go, and it needs to be made a priority in our life. And, you know, if we're going to trust in God, we've got to know what he expects of us, what he wants us to do. So we have to spend time in his word learning. And, you know, that when we do that, that's followed up by putting it into practice. We've learned in our previous lessons how important it is not just to know this word, but to live it, to put it into practice, because that's when it stays with us. And, you know, he tells us here that, you know, he tells us not to forget my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. So when we're talking about our heart, and that's, you know, it's talking how it's a big part of us. It needs to become part of us. And he even gives us a promise there in verse 2. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So, you know, how does that happen? Does that mean if we follow God, we're going to live forever? No, that's not what it's saying here. But we do know that if we do follow the precepts in God's word, that we will live a healthier life. If we treat our body like God's temple and keep things out of our life that would harm us, or things out of our life that would keep us from serving like we should, as far as physically, we will live longer. We know that. But the more we learn, the more we spend time in God's word and put it to application to live it, the more usable we are to God, the more we can do. And you think, when you just logically, when you think about it, if we can do more for God, he's going to keep us here longer, working for him longer. You know, we understand that if we turn away from him, if we start living a life of sin, he may take us out of this world early. But if we stay faithful and stay useful, it could give us even longer time here. So, and also, when we have his words in our hearts and we're living it here, we can also have peace in any situation. Because the promise there in verse 2, it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So again, the first step here in trusting God is to make sure we know what God expects of us, know what his word's telling us, know what he wants us to do and how we should live. And he continues on in verse 3 and 4. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So here we see in verse 3 specifically, it says mercy and truth should be so evident in our lives that it can be seen by others. If you've got your Bibles, you should be there in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs 16. I'm going to read a couple verses there that go along with this. And Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." So these verses go along a lot in the way that the ones that we just read about to hold on to mercy and truth, to bind them about our neck, and when we do that, we find favor with God. So, but the truth is, we live in a world of sinners who need God's mercy. But, and we know that they need God's mercy because we need God's mercy as well. We all need God's mercy because we're born into this world bound for hell. And we also need God's truth. And that truth, I think, is best summarized in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So we all need God's mercy, and we need God's truth and the truth of the gospel. But we also need mercy, truth and mercy in our lives as well, because we should reflect God in our lives. So, you know, when you look at the verses we read in Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 16, you know, we see there that, you know, when we exercise mercy and truth in our lives, it also helps us to get sin out of our lives. And exercising mercy and truth is living what God has taught us in his word and showing our love and compassion to God and to others. So that here when we see, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee," it means it should be part of our lives. It should come out in showing compassion and love to others, and you know, by understanding what God's taught us through his word. Again, when we put God's word in our heart, we live it, it should come out as love and compassion, love and faithfulness to God, and compassion and love to those around us. And that's what people should see in our lives. And it's done that when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. You know, we can't have those things. We can't do that on our own. We need God's Holy Spirit there. And when we allow his Spirit to control us and to be fully in control, there's not room in our lives for sin. That it's purged from us. So, and then we go on there in the second part. It says, "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So if people see these characteristics in our life, this mercy and truth, compassion, love towards them, you know, they're not always going to agree with us. But they shouldn't ever be able to doubt that we care and then we love them. And, you know, it's not saying here that when we follow the Lord and we, you know, live a life that we should, that everybody's going to love us. No, that's not true. But they shouldn't ever doubt that we love them. Our hearts should be real in that way. And not, if we're not truly loving them, it's going to show, they're going to see it. But they should see the evidence of mercy and truth in our lives. So if we have compassion and commitment to God that we should have as Christians, you know, we're going to find blessing and favor with God as well. Verse we looked at a few weeks ago in our Sunday school messages in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So if we're going to find favor and please the Lord, it requires faith, and if we're going to trust him. And that's really what leads us to the next verse here. So, you know, if we're going to find favor, we need to trust him. We need to trust him so that we can have those things like mercy and truth in our lives. And that brings us to verses 5 and 6, verses that we've probably all memorized at some point. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So the first step to trust God is to trust him with our eternal souls. The first thing we need to do is trust him, trust what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we know that we can trust that, that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. And that's where our trust and our faith needs to be. And that is what cements our eternity with him when we have that faith. So, when we do that, we are putting our trust and our faith in him, because for salvation, we are putting all of our trust in him. It's nothing that we do that can save us. And when we do that, we automatically are not leaning into our own understanding. So that's the first step there. The world wants to dream up all kinds of things to add to that. Good works, going to different religions, different things to work your way into salvation. But that takes leaning on our own understanding. We need to put our trust in God first of all. But we also need to trust him in our everyday living. And, not to keep our salvation, but so that we can be a useful vessel for him. When we trust him every day, he can use us. When we start trusting in our own understanding, that's when he can't use us. So we need to make sure that we're doing that every day. These verses, like I said, they're easy to memorize. We've learned them, but they're not so easy to put into practice. Earlier we talked about autonomous cars. How many of you have cruise control on your car? It's a little different. Yeah. How many of you like cruise control? Yeah, it's great when you're going on a long trip, you turn on the cruise control. My car, I love it. I can set it where it'll keep the distance in front of me, the same distance from the car in front. If I start to wander out of the lane, it'll correct me back into the lane. It's almost like an autonomous car. It's not, because if you take your hands off the steering wheel, it tells you to put your hands back on the steering wheel. I'm thankful my car reminds me of that. But cruise control works great when you're on the highway, there's not a lot of traffic. But what happens when all of a sudden traffic starts getting tight? Even with all those corrections that my car has, and maybe a lot of yours do too, it still gets frustrating when you start getting into a lot of traffic. Mind the following thing: if you're not paying attention and the car in front of you is going 50 miles an hour, and you look down, all of a sudden you're going 50 miles an hour too. And you're like, what happened? And then you have to speed up and try to catch up. But what happens when you get into heavy traffic, what do you usually do? You turn it off, right? You stop trusting that cruise control. And I think that's what we do a lot of time with God. When things are going well, we put it on cruise control and we trust him. But when things start getting a little crowded or things aren't going as smoothly as they once were, then we want to take the wheel back. And that's what he's warning us against here. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So many times we don't want to let go of that steering wheel when things get scary there. So real trust or faith means letting God have full control in our lives. The problem that almost always we have when we ask him for help is a lot of times, it seems like most of the time, he gives us the answer that we want when we ask him for guidance, when we ask him for direction, but we don't like the answer that we get. So, we keep thinking God hasn't given us an answer, but we know in our hearts what God really wants us to do, but we start looking for different ways that are easier, that aren't as challenging to us. And that's when we go back to trusting in our own understanding. You know, as New Testament Christians, we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit living in us, and we should be trusting that and letting His Spirit control our lives, taking our hands off the wheel, trusting in Him every day. You know, we should be seeking guidance from the Lord constantly, not just, you know, in the morning when we get up and pray. It should be a constant thing, always looking at Him for wisdom in the big things and in the small things. We need His guidance, and we need to trust Him. And then we go on there. So we've learned here in the first several verses that, you know, we need to be in God's Word. We need to live God's Word, and we need to trust Him. And in the next verses, he gives, verses 7 and 8, he gives us a hindrance and a solution to trusting Him. In verse 7, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Again, these verses are, they're warning us, you know, be not wise in our own eyes. That's the hindrance when we start trusting in our own way. Because like I said before, we are always trusting in something. If we're not trusting in God, we're trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in people. And, you know, we need to make sure that we are not trusting in our own wisdom. You know, think about who wrote this proverb that we're reading today. Solomon was writing this. And think about what happened in his life when he trusted his own wisdom. You know, he ended up, you know, he started out serving the Lord. We see early on in his life, he was faithful. But you could see even early on when God was describing it, he was letting things into his life, like taking these wives from foreign countries that served other gods. He knew he wasn't supposed to be doing that. So even though Solomon, who the Bible tells us was the wisest man to ever live, he was still trusting in his own wisdom when he made those decisions. And, you know, when we start allowing sin into our lives, those little things, even though they may not seem big at the time, you know, letting little things in because we think, oh, that's not, you know, God says we shouldn't do that, but it's not that bad. When we start allowing things into our lives like that, that's sin. That's getting away from God. That's not trusting Him. That's trusting our wisdom. And he tells us the solution to that is to fear the Lord. You know, you think about, you know, God's wisdom is supreme. And, you know, we should respect and fear God and His wisdom. You know, we know that He knows, He sees things that we never see. When we try to make decisions on our own, we're basing it on the little things that we can see in our little area of our lives. God can see it all. He knows what's coming our way, what's not coming our way. But we still think we know better so many times. And, you know, no matter how smart we are here on this earth, God knows more than we do. You know, we think about, you know, we were talking about those autonomous cars. When you think about it, the greatest minds in this world are working on that. People that know, you know, are smarter than we are. I mean, let's be honest. They're working on those cars, but we still can't trust them because the reason they're not everywhere right now is because they're still running into people and crashing around. you know, even the smartest people still haven't figured everything out and never will. Only God can, and He's the only one that we can completely trust. So he says here the answer is to fear the Lord. And you know, again, the wisest man that ever lived, he failed when he didn't trust. And Proverbs 16, verse 5, if you guys are still there, it's the verse right before the ones we read earlier. It says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." So again, we see that pride, trusting in our own wisdom, those are the things that keep us from trusting God. And you see here how God feels about it. He calls it an abomination. That means he hates it. He doesn't like it when we choose our way over his. So when we do that, we're saying that our way is better than God's way. And eventually that's what Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, came around to thinking. Even though God gave him this blessing, he came around thinking, even though that gift came from God, that he knew more than God. And we see how his life ended up in tragedy. You know, so here he says the answer here is to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Some people, I think, have trouble understanding this fearing the Lord. You know, they think, you know, how can we fear the Lord because he loves us? And, you know, that's not really how we should understand that. You know, when I was growing up, I was fortunate to have parents that loved the Lord. And they worked hard to keep me out of trouble. I was growing up, you know, I'm not bragging or anything, I was never someone that got in a lot of trouble. I was pretty obedient to my parents. But what that goes back to was the way that they raised me. First of all, because, you know, when my parents got saved, I could see a real change in their life. And I could see, you know, that they were trying to do what God wanted them to do. And I had a real respect for them. And in a way, that is a fear. That's because I respected, and, you know, what they said to me carried great weight, what they told me. But I also feared being punished by them, because if I did something wrong, and I did, I knew I was going to be punished. So that was another thing that helped keep me in line, was fearing that punishment. But as I got older, another fear that helped keep me in line was the fear of letting them down. Because I knew how much my parents loved me, how much they put into helping me grow up and mature, and I didn't want to let my parents down. I can remember when I was in college, that was a fear I had. I didn't want to disappoint my parents. And, you know, there were some things, you know, sometimes it was grades or maybe doing something I knew I shouldn't have been doing. And as you get older, that becomes a bigger fear than those other fears. But the same way God cares for us more than my parents love me. And that should lead to our respect for him. It should lead to not wanting to disappoint him. There should be a fear in disappointing God. And there's also a fear in chastisement, which we're going to look at here in a little bit as well. So when we depart from evil, we can avoid God's chastisement, which we're going to learn about shortly here. So here he gives us a warning to trusting him is to not be wise in our own eyes, but we need to fear God and let that be our driving factor and to depart from evil. So and then we go on to verses 9 and 10, and it talks about how our trust can develop into worshiping him. In verse 9 it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So when we're trusting God, we get to the point where we realize that everything we have is from him. You know, and when we get to that point, it's not that hard to give joyfully, to give from what we have, whether it's our time, our finances. When we realize it's all from God, and that's, you know, not just something that's in our head, but in our hearts, it becomes easier to give. You know, so, you know, when God lays on your heart sometimes to make an offering, you know, sometimes it's hard. Maybe he lays on your heart to make an offering or to write that tithe check, and then you go and you look at your bank account and you think, you know, how am I going to make it? You know, when we start to do our math in our head, we think, you know, this isn't going to work. Now, God doesn't ask us to give more than we have. But sometimes he lays things on our heart that he wants us to give, you know, whether it's time or money, and we calculate, can we really afford to give that? Well, if God's laid it on our hearts, He's going to make it where we can afford to give that. Trusting God is knowing that we can't outgive God. When we give to God, He's going to give back to us. It doesn't mean He's going to make us rich and never have to worry again, but we do know that He's going to take care of us. He doesn't ask us again, like I said, to give more than we have, but He does want us to acknowledge that all we have is from Him. And when we're trusting Him, we really are trusting Him with all our hearts, we can give knowing that He's going to take care of us. We don't have to fear that. So, and then he goes on and he finishes out our passage here with, I'll go ahead and read verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. So at some point in this area of trust, we're going to fail. I mean, we are humans. We're born sinners. We're going to fail at some point. And we're going to give in to our flesh. We're going to try to do things in our own understanding. And sometimes when we do that, God may have to correct us. So, but He does that because we're His child, and He does it because He loves us. If you're continually living in sin and you're not seeing any repercussions from that, if you're not seeing anything hard coming into your life, then you need to take a real look and say, are you really God's child? Because if you're living in sin constantly and God's not correcting you, He's not going to correct the devil's children. He's going to correct His children. And, and sometimes, in life, that's hard for us to understand. We are God's children, but God treats us like a son. But the unsaved, they're not God's children. God is their judge. And someday, that's going to come around full circle. So, it's hard sometimes to trust God when we see, we're doing what God wants us to do, and we're still struggling sometimes. We're not, we do something, and then somebody in the world does the exact same thing, and, it seems like, it may be something that God's not pleased with. And we see somebody in the world doing the same thing, and they get away with it. And that's, hard for us to deal with. It's hard for us to understand sometimes. And that's one of the factors that starts driving us to trust in our own wisdom, because we see someone in the world prospering by doing wrong, and we start thinking, well, why can't I do that? But I was listening to an excerpt from a sermon. A pastor gave a good illustration on how he described God's chastisement of His children versus chastisement of the world. And he described it like this. He said God's children are on the cash system, where the world is on the credit card system. So you understand today, when you go into stores, it's like cash or credit. How are you going to pay for this? When you pay with cash or you pay with a debit card, you go in, you buy something, you ring it up, and what happens? The money comes right out of your bank account. You got what you bought. They took your money. But you go in with a credit card, what happens? You swipe that card, you get what you want, all your money's still in the bank account. And you start thinking, that's pretty good, isn't it? you hear about people, and I'm not going to get on to credit cards and whether you should have them this morning. I have strong opinions on that, but we'll save that maybe for another message. But credit cards can get people in a lot of trouble, because they just keep buying and buying and buying, and someday the bill's going to come due. But when you think about when God deals with us, when we sin, God deals with us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about after we're saved. God deals with us right then. He corrects us, and it's done. He chastises us at that time. We get right with Him. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. and we move on. The world, they just keep ringing up the credit card, and it's piling up. And someday, when they die or when the Lord returns, all that's going to come due, and they have no way to pay it because they haven't trusted in the Lord. So, you know, we may see people prospering, but, you know, we need to remember that we're not prospering in that sin because God loves us. And that shows another reason why we can trust Him. So, so God's chastening, we need to remember, is a blessing that reminds us to keep trusting Him. So when we go through those times where He is chastening us, we need to learn what He wants us to, repent of that sin, and move on and keep trusting Him. And not think of that as that's not fair, and start trusting in our own wisdom, our own math. We need to trust in Him that He's doing what's right and what's best for us. So if we're gonna trust God, we need to start by knowing His Word. We need to be making it a part of us. We don't need to not only know it, but we need to live it so that others will see Christ in us. And to do this, you know, like I said before, it goes back to the beginning. We must trust that God's Word is true and that we can believe in His promises. I read a definition. I found a definition online of trust. And I meant to read it earlier. It says here, trust signifies a deep, unwavering reliance on God's character, promises, and power, both in good times and challenging ones. It's more than just belief. It's a conscious choice to depend on God and His ways, even with faced with uncertainty or difficulty. So trust means to always trust in Him, whether it's good times, whether it's bad times, and we need to go back. We have to trust that His promises are true. The promises in His Word are true. And when we do that, this means that we trust His promises and His wisdom more than our own. And it results in a surrender of our will and all that we have, not just our will, but our possessions, everything surrenders to Him when we truly trust Him. It starts with trust, and it ends with more trust. It starts with trust in His Word and trusting Him. And if we trust His Word, we live it, we believe it, it ends with having even more trust and even more faith to better serve Him. So it goes back, our main verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So having our paths directed by God will give us a peace that we could never know otherwise. And we need to work to make sure that we are trusting Him and not trusting our own wisdom or wisdom of others that would mislead us. We need to make sure that we're trusting Him. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank You for the opportunity to be here in Your house. Lord, we thank You for Your Word with so many promises and so much love and compassion shown to us through Your Word and through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that that's what we would put our trust in, what You've given us, trust in You and what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And pray, Lord, that we would use that to guide every part of our lives, not trust in our own wisdom, but to trust in Yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.